Please pray with me. Dear Lord, I pray that the message that I've prepared is not my message, that these are not my words or my thoughts, that they may come from you. May you use this time to open up our hearts and our minds to hear something and receive something special from you. I pray this in your name. Amen. Today is Father's Day. And Father's Day is a wonderful time, especially for me. I'm a father. I've only been a father for a few years, but it's a wonderful blessing to be a father. And I know all of us who have raised children, it's a neat time of year. In fact, one of the blessings, probably the biggest blessing I got of the week, is I was part of the group that went to Henderson. I was there for the first part of the week. We came back late Wednesday night, and I got home back to the house about 9:30, and the kids were still up. Stephanie, my wife, let them stay up to see Dad, and I come in, and they're just so happy to see me. They just come, and I've never seen them so excited. Hugs, kisses, wrestling, it was great. I just felt, it just made my week and made the time in Henderson just that much more special. And I can't wait to go to Henderson again next year so I can, when I come back, they'll actually appreciate me. But no, it's a wonderful blessing. And fathers, we are so blessed by our kids, but we also have the opportunity to be a blessing to our kids. And that's really what I want to talk about this morning. For we all have fathers, we all have earthly fathers, but we all have a heavenly father. And likewise, we are all children of our earthly fathers, but first and foremost, we are children of God. And that is a wonderful blessing as well. And Paul, in his letter to the Galatians, I'm going to focus on, in chapter 3, on verses 23 through 29. But really, that whole chapter 3 and before, Paul is talking or telling the Galatians about being children of God, about what it means. And he talks about the promise that Abraham received from God long, long time ago, long before even this was written, even before Paul was writing to the church in Galatia. Abraham received this promise from God, a promise to be children of God, a promise to just be prosperous and that the whole world would be blessed because of Abraham and his seed. Really, the seed he was referring to is Jesus. And so Abraham receives this promise, and thereby the whole world receives this promise. But then it was 430 years later that we received the law. For 430 years, they just had the promise that Abraham had, and Isaac and Jacob. And then 430 years later, they received the law. The promise was still good. The promise was still there. This promise was still viable. But then the law comes into the picture, and Paul describes it as a guardian. The law sort of took hold and shaped and guided the people of God, the children of God, for another 1,500 years. And the law was necessary. It kept them connected. But it did not override the promise. The promise still was valid. But then the promise became fulfilled, or really was set in place when Jesus came. He was the fulfillment of the law. He was the fulfillment of this promise. And all of us, if we have the faith that Abraham had, we have the blessing of this promise. And Paul is simply reminding the church in Galatia about this. And here's the passage that we'll lift up this morning. Galatians chapter 3, starting in verse 23. Before the coming of this faith, we were held in custody under the law, locked up until the faith that was to come would be revealed. So the law was our guardian until Christ came that we might be justified by faith. Now that this faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What God has done throughout the ages is simply create people and then redeem them, call them back to himself, and then send a Savior to die for them, and then reestablish them as children of God. I've heard the Bible really is described as just a love story. It's a love story of God's love for us. Because we are children of God. But when I speak to the fathers this morning, I want us to know and us to understand and realize that while God is our Father in heaven, and our children absolutely desperately need to know God and Jesus, in large part, they do that because of us. Our kids, our children need fathers. We have a vital role in the lives of our kids because our kids need to see the gospel lived out. They need to see what it means to be a believer. In Henderson, I had the honor and privilege of leading the time and the evening of just reflection and discussion. And one of the things that we lifted up and talked about was the purpose of life, the purpose of it all. We talked about it and lifted up in relation to missions and serving others. And I've talked about this before, but the purpose of God to me is very simple. The purpose of life. The purpose of all of it. We hear that question a lot. What is the meaning of life? Why? What's the purpose of it all? The purpose of it is simply to glorify God. That is what we are called to do. That is what we were created to do, is to glorify God. And if we are called to glorify God, how do we do that? Jesus summed it up in the greatest commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your mind, soul, heart, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's how we glorify God, is through love. And then really, we can counter that with the idea that there really is only one sin. In all of human history, there really is only one sin. It's very simple. The one sin that all of us are afflicted with and that every other nuance of sin derives from is simply idolatry of self. We sin because we elevate ourselves above God. And we glorify God when we keep God at the top and everything else falls under that. That's very, very simple language, but that is, in essence, what fathers are called to do. I have a passage also from Paul, and he wrote to the Ephesians, actually, in chapter 6, verse 4. He said, and AJ touched on this passage as well, when Paul was talking to just households. He said, children, honor your father and mother. And he talked to lots of different people, but here's what Paul said to fathers. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Children, bring them up in the education and training and understanding and power of the Lord. He says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. That's kind of a weird term. Basically, Paul's saying, don't waste their time. Don't set them up for failure. Don't teach them stuff that doesn't matter. How do we do that? How do us fathers, how do we do that? How do we raise up our kids in a way where they can learn to glorify God? Where they can be used by God? And really, the answer is, we're called to live out our faith. We're called to love. We're called to keep God at the top. And we're called to put ourselves at the bottom. Many times, Jesus says that the first shall be last and the last shall be first. Does anybody else have a hard time with that? That is a difficult, difficult teaching. We can't even begin to understand truly what that means. As Americans, we're about winning, as Donald Trump reminds us. We want to win. And that's what we're programmed. We want to strive and win, and that's the American culture. But that's not the way it works in God's world. Those who are last shall be first, and those who are first shall be last. Our jobs as fathers is to teach our kids what that looks like. Our job as fathers is to teach our kids what does it mean to love God with all your mind, soul, heart, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. We as fathers are called to teach our kids what does it mean to glorify God with everything you do and everything you say. We're called to be that example to our kids of what it means to be last. And that there's value in that. Because our kids are going to learn how to live. They're going to learn lessons, life lessons, from somebody. Shouldn't it be us? And shouldn't those lessons point them to Christ? Our kids watch us. It's amazing how much my boys and now daughter are picking up every single day. They hear everything, every word I say. They see every action I take. If I'm not the one to show them what it means to submit to God's will and to love others, to put myself last, how in the world are they going to learn how to do that? Some of you may not know this. I don't know that I've shared it in a formal sermon or not, but my dad was an alcoholic. He actually died from alcoholism about 12 years ago. And he was one of those guys that really wanted to put himself first. Selfish, self-centered. I'm not sure where he was coming from on that, but it was all about himself. He never had time for anybody else. It was always his agenda. And he wasn't a very good father. And he was not a very good husband. And he was a terrible example to me of what it meant to be a dad or a husband. He didn't really know Christ. He didn't go to church at all unless my mom made him. He accepted Christ later in life, you know, a few years before he died. But he was really an example to me of what not to do, which really is not the best way to learn, I don't think. He was a good example of what not to do. And I've tried to heed those lessons, even though I often fail. I often find myself doing the things he did. But that's not a good way to do it. Thank God, growing up, I had more than a few, godly men who served as an example of what a godly father and a godly husband should be. Older men in my congregation that I grew up in Bedford, men that served in the church, ushers and others. My maternal grandfather was a wonderful example. And other people that God brought into my life to show me what it meant to be a man of God, what it meant to serve others, what it meant to love. And while not all of us in this room are fathers, not all of us have children that we're raising or have raised, but all of us have an opportunity to invest in the lives of young people. All of us have the opportunity to be a father to somebody, a father in the faith, a mentor, if you will, a big brother, maybe. All of us have an opportunity to live our lives, to be intentional, to live our lives in a way that glorifies God. We all have an opportunity to love in a powerful way. We all have an opportunity to put ourselves last and put others ahead of us. And if we do that, then our nieces and nephews, our grandchildren, the little kid down the street, maybe somebody who's a grandson of a friend, maybe that troubled kid at school, whoever it might be, we have the opportunity to be an example to someone. And even this week, as we have VBS, 300 kids are going to fill these pews right here all week long. They're going to be all over the place, learning and growing and having fun, and they're going to be watching the adults that are here with them. They're going to be learning from them. And all the kids everywhere are going to be watching how we live, whether they're related to us or not. And that's a wonderful, maybe scary proposition, but it's a wonderful, wonderful opportunity for us to be an example to young people of what it means to follow Christ, what it means to love, what it means to glorify God with the way that we live. Look for opportunities. Look for people to invest in. And if you have kids, pay attention. Pay attention to the example that you are to them, because they're learning everything they're ever going to know from you. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you that you are our Heavenly Father. You love us so much, and it's only because of the love that you have for us that we get to love others. Lord, help us to do that well. Help us to do that boldly. Help us to do that without fear, so that we can love people the way that you love them, and so that they can not just be loved, but so that they can be transformed. Lord, help us to be a good example. Help us to live our lives in ways that glorify you. I just thank you so much for each and every one of us here today. May we be equipped and motivated to serve you in whatever way you call us. Praise in your name. Amen.